Good evening, Brent.
Yo, what's up?
And good evening to all of you.
To everybody.
Did that sound like I cared?
Good evening. Hello.
It was like really forced.
How is everybody doing?
Have you spent most of your life like reading off of a teleprompter just so you could appear normal?
Yeah. Yeah. I pre-write out like everything. And when somebody hits me with a question that I wasn't expecting, I just kind of like shut down.
Or you just like answer it with like something that doesn't make sense. Yes, my favorite flower is a tulip.
Yeah, what is your favorite flower? Bob the Builder.
Bob the Builder.
Bob the Builder.
I forgot you're 13 years old.
Yeah, I mean, that's when I prepped all my answers when I was 13.
I think Bob the Builder came out when I was in college.
Whoa, Bob the Builder was a big part of my childhood.
Was it really?
No. No, but it was on TV.
What was give me top three TV shows from your childhood?
Ooh. This is hard, like just because like some were like my older brother. Yeah, and my older brother was watching shows that I like clearly like me and you talk about like Doug.
Doug was good. I used to like Doug.
Beavis and Butthead.
Beavis and Butthead, of course.
And then
this is
like,
all old for you though. Like this is like you were like young watching this shit.
Yeah. Like I used to just watch like the intro to Pinky and the Brain.
Oh yeah, sure. Did you ever watch like Animaniacs, like the whole thing? Or was it only Pinky and the Brain?
Only Pinky and the Brain. But I remember clearly.
So you didn't always, so Pinky and the Brain was like a mini cartoon on the bigger show Animaniacs, and then they turned it in, it was like a smash hit, so they turned it into a regular show.
Yeah, and I only know, I can only say Pinky and the Brain.
They got like Animaniacs is new on
I seen that.
Something.
It's not Netflix. It's, is it Crave?
Is it what?
On Crave?
What the fuck is Crave?
Crave is like our
HBO. Come on!
Sound effects, kid.
What was that one?
Come on!
Yo, I am so happy to have sound effects right now.
Come on.
Like, everybody loves it, man.
Come on!
Fucking crowds go wild.
Oh, man. I want to do a joke that just bombs, but we just keep adding like really shitty clap and laugh factors. No, don't give me that one.
even if what you're saying is funny, I'm just going to hit you with one of those, make you feel bad.
No. If it's not funny, you got to hit me with the claps because we got to keep this show going.
There you go. You feel good?
Yeah. Beat Brent the intern for 2024. So you guys next election.
Oh man, yeah. I think a Canadian could win the U.S. presidency. That would work.
Yeah, I could come over. I mean, Trump did it. I could do it. Really, you want to say all the negative things about Trump for sure?
Yeah. Always.
But probably the one positive is he made a lot of people who probably wouldn't do anything in their lives be like, I could probably do something.
Dude, if there is one thing that I've learned from Trump, well, actually two things. The one thing is that literally anyone could be president.
Yeah,
like you
matter.
Don't have to be smart. I guess you got to have money, right? Like that probably helps. You can't like try to silence people if you're broke because they'd be like, what are you going to do about it? You're like, I don't know. You know?
Yeah.
And
or you
should
run a really
is,
good blackmail operation.
Oh, you could do that. Yeah, you could do that. The other thing is if you just believe something enough and you say that you believe it enough, people will just be like, well, I mean, he's pretty consistent. I guess he's onto something, and then they'll just follow you.
You know what's funny, though, is like he's so inconsistent.
Well, he's consistent in the fact that he's inconsistent. Like he'll just like if someone's just like, hey, did you take the cookies out of the cookie jar? He'd be like, no, I didn't do that. They're like, but I here's a video of you taking it. It's like, it's not me. And it's like, but it says right here, like, here's a video of you saying, hi, I'm Donald and I'm stealing the cookies. He'd be like, nah, it's not real. It's not real. It's not me. And then like a bunch of people are like, he said it's not him. It's obviously not him. And then like people gang up and then it's like, oh, well, that worked.
And then the next interview that he gives, they'll be like, so what do you think about cookies? And he'll be like, I just had cookies the other day. Walked in, took them.
It was easy. It was easy. Yeah, and then everyone's just like, dude, see, it's cool if he does it.
Yeah. You can take the cookies if you want them.
It's a really hard way to like learn that is to, you know, have him like be the leader of the free world and just have like 4 years of a guy stealing cookies out of the cookie jar and denying it and then not denying it.
Yeah. You know what? The only, probably the biggest positive is like you kind of realize it's all just a joke and nothing really matters. Not even the highest level of security and politics and like all that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter.
It really puts you into an existential crisis place, right? Where you're just like, fuck. Yeah.
Like, I would agree.
What's the point of it all?
Yeah. And then you can kind of like go 360 and be like, there isn't a point, and this is just more proof that there's no point. Things should just be happy.
And then you're standing on a ledge like yeah. like 30 minutes later. Oh, why'd I even try?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
What were your three influential shows?
Influential? Is that what I asked you? Did I ask you three influential shows? I think you asked
like three of your favorite, maybe?
I think I just said like three top shows.
Oh, I thought I interpreted that as like influential.
Oh, influential. Dude, you know what I used to watch a lot of? Like, well, I used to watch a lot of Looney Tunes when I was a kid.
You know, okay, so did I.
Yeah, like you know how like they used to play those on like Nickelodeon and shit like that, where it'd just be like a half an hour Looney Tunes, and they would just be like 2 minute cartoons of each one.
Yeah,
loved that. That was huge for me.
But then, so the three shows that I said were kind of like more three shows that I just like, I think influenced like the way I like saw or wanted to like. Do something like that one day. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Whatever that was. But probably three like influential shows was like Arthur.
The Aardvark? Reset.
No, not Aardvark. Arthur. Hey, Arthur.
Hey, Arthur. Hey, Arnold.
Hey, Arnold. Idiot. That's it. And then do you remember Arthur? Sorry, I'm making two shows up here.
Arthur was like an Aardvark, wasn't he?
He had
glasses. Yeah.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. That show.
Wait, yes like, that to that show or no to that yeah. show?
No, yes to that show.
So yes to sure. Arthur, no to Arnold.
Yeah. Hey Arnold as well.
Yeah.
Come on.
Those two
Come
shows.
On.
And then
Hey Arnold was cool because I wanted his room.
Everyone's probably already talked about this, but his skirt. Didn't you always think it was a skirt?
No, I didn't think it was a skirt. I thought he was wearing like a kilt or some shit. Or he was either wearing a kilt or he was wearing like a plaid shirt like tied around his waist.
Wait, did you just say no, you didn't think it was a skirt and then just use another word for a skirt? I thought it was a sundress.
yeah.
It wasn't a skirt. It was a kilt.
I never said that.
It's supposed to be like a skirt.
Thank you. Settle down, people. I got my fans here.
Yeah, it was a shirt tied around his waist.
Yeah, okay. So that's cool, man. It was like the 90s. I used to do that shit.
Yeah, I just didn't know what it was. I always thought it was a skirt.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got a problem with that?
I mean, maybe.
Why? God, you people in Canada, you're so sheltered.
is that a big, I feel like that's probably a bigger thing here, kilts.
Kilts
than it is in New York.
You got a lot of Scots up in Canada?
Yeah, I feel like there's a decent amount.
You got any Scottish in you?
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I feel really disappointed about that.
Yeah. Me too. I mean, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Do you?
No. Not at all. I have just all of my DNA is just like a melting pot of the Mediterranean Sea.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Very
little without. Someone scooped up the Mediterranean Sea and whatever was in there, they just poured into a Sicilian container. And then that was me.
And then just shook it up?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
That's all I got going for me.
So wait, you're three. Three influential shows.
Well, the Looney Tunes was a big one. And I remember like when they had like the Warner Brothers store at the mall. I don't know if they had that by you guys.
No.
You would go in and they would have all these animation cells for sale. And you would go in and it would be, you know, like when you go into like a store and they have like the poster thing where it like flips and clacks. And it's like, yeah. It was kind of like that, but like bigger walls and like more substantial. And you could just go through them and there would be cells from all these different cartoons. So you could get like a pencil sketch from an actual scene in a cartoon that was aired, and they would cost like $500 or something like that. $100, $200, divided to $1,200, like depending on what cartoon it was from. And it used to be like, my parents would just take me to go in there and just look at them, you know?
Yeah.
And then I remember like one, I don't know, it was like a birthday or birthday Christmas combo or something like that. My parents got me one of, I think, Animaniacs actually. And
wait, you still have it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was awesome. I think I have it in storage or something, but it was beautiful. You know, like it's so, the pencil work and everything is just so amazing.
It had like numbering in the corners or anything?
Yeah, yeah. It's got all the little notes and shit. It's amazing.
Yeah,
and then when you would go there and you would look at some of them, you would see like some of them would have like really crazy like notes or like the way that it's drawn. Like it would be like you could tell it was more special than the other ones, you know?
Yeah.
And those things, like, they would be so expensive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But those
you know what? Awesome. You can buy so many sales on eBay for like pretty cheap from shows that...
Really?
Kind of loved.
That's
I think it's because there's just so many.
Yeah, there are. There are so many. I think that's why they could get away with it. I feel like they ran out of cells and then they closed all the stores because they were like, we don't have any more to sell.
Yeah, no, this is all going to, I think, Korea probably.
Yeah, yeah.
All of it now.
I think so. Well, there was a lot of it in Korea for a lot of those too. Like, I don't know how they got away with some of that shit.
Yeah. Were they just asking for those to be shipped back or like?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. There was like a lot of Chuck Jones shit. You know?
Yeah.
And that was
Know Chuck Jones.
He was like, he did a lot of the old, like Warner Brothers, Looney Tunes stuff, Bugs Bunny and all that shit, you know?
Yeah.
But it was, yeah, no, that was awesome. I think from an influential standpoint, I also liked, I definitely liked like Dr. Katz and Beavis and Butthead for like the Squiggle Vision stuff.
Oh man, you sent me Dr. Katz.
Yeah, Dr. Katz was I really liked Dr. Katz.
And that was, correct me if I'm wrong, Bob's Burgers, the voice actor for Bob's Burgers was Dr. Katz, right?
No, Dr. Katz I think was actually a guy named Jonathan Katz who was a comedian. But I do believe that his son was John Benjamin who does Bob's Burgers.
Okay. Yeah. John H. Benjamin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or H. John Benjamin.
H. John Benjamin, I think. So I didn't even realize like how like long ago that was. And I was thinking about it. I was like, damn, I was like watching that shit a long time. But I really liked that. It was like, it was simple, you know, it was like super simple. And it was more about the content than it was the animation, which is Looney Tunes was kind of like both. The content was amazing. The animation was amazing. Dr. Katz was like, the animation was like very deliberately raw. Like someone just did it in their apartment, you know, like and like friggin' like 78th Street, like in their apartment scrolling and just like sent it to Comedy Central and they put it on TV and they just got like a bunch of like local comedians to sit in and just like bullshit for 20 minutes, you know?
Yeah, which is so awesome.
It's so awesome. Yeah.
Have you ever seen home
movies?
Home video? Home movies. Movies. Yeah.
Same people.
Same concept. Okay. Is it
it's same people.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because exactly that, right? Just kind of like very improv'd.
Well, it's
them just talking. And
you know what's really funny? My youngest brother is like 5 years younger than me, and I was obsessed with Dr. Katz. And then when Home Movies came out, I think it was like on Cartoon Network, he started watching that. And I don't think he watched Dr. Katz, but he was into Home Movies, and then I kind of missed Home Movies. But it was funny. It was like same people doing the same thing, essentially. But it's awesome. You know, it's just fun and it's raw and it's like this, it's almost like an unmolded, you know, glob of clay that's just like someone took it and just like stretched it and like put it on a table and you're like, I love it.
A lot of that's happening to like a lot of comedy podcasts where people are taking them and little stories that people tell on the podcast, animating them.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And it feels new, but it's really,
it's totally not. Yeah. It's like that. Dr. Katz was like early to mid 90s.
Yeah,
I think.
So you got Looney Tunes,
Dr. Katz. I mean, there's like, this is a breaking update. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers just beat the Saints.
The who?
Yeah, that's good. You know why they won is because of excellent graphic design.
Yes.
They're in the playoffs now. I take full credit for that. I do. I really do. It's not Tom Brady. Yeah. It's none of the players. It's not the coaches. It's not the people who own the team or anything like that. I take 100% responsibility for that win.
Hey, isn't that what they say about the Yankees or whatever? The pinstripe suits or
yeah,
whatever that saying is.
The pinstripe suits, yes. They're gangsters. Yeah. They bring Tommy guns with them into the dugout. That's why they win.
No, I think it's like people can't keep their eyes off the pinstripe suits or something like that. That's what I mean. You ever hear that saying?
I've never heard that.
Oh, man. that's why the Tampa Bay.
You know what else too? You know, I really liked the older like Nickelodeon cartoons, like well, not the older ones, but like the original ones, like Rocko's Modern Life and Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, Rocko's Modern Life.
It was a wallaby, and he had a cow for a friend, a yellow cow for a friend, and a turtle for a friend who had glasses. And he was like, you know, like Australian or whatever.
I just remember the word mark, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Like really sharp.
Super 90s. But it was like 90s retro 50s-ish kind of thing. It was like when the 90s were like pulling from other decades, but it was like 90s-ifying them, you know?
Oh, yeah, man. In my mind, this is a lot nicer than what I'm looking at.
That show was great, though. I really liked that show. And then Ren and Stimpy was like pure chaos. And I like, it's like, to this day, I still quote it how many years later, you know, like there's at least once a day I'll just be like, no, sir, I don't like it. You know, like some shit like that.
This is what's weird is with Ren and Stimpy is like, and I guess I just don't know, but did they influenced heavily like SpongeBob in the way that was animated?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? No, definitely.
100%. I mean, a lot of shows.
SpongeBob was way after that.
Yeah.
But yeah, for sure, for sure. Like when SpongeBob came out, I was like too old to like to know anything about it, you know.
Yeah.
But
I think you would like it. Have you watched it?
I've, you know, when my oldest daughter was younger, I tried to get her into it because I wanted to watch it, and she was like, yeah, you know, like I think she was like too young at the time. If everything I've seen from it is good.
Yeah.
You know. I could probably take it and put it on and just like sit here by myself and watch it and enjoy it. I'm guessing.
Oh, that's something I want to ask you. New season of Disenchantment.
Oh yeah, started already.
You did?
I'm on top of it. Yeah. Well, because my oldest daughter, she loves it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So we've been waiting for it to kind of. She keeps reminding me. She's like, "Dad, it's almost January 15th. It's almost January 15th." So finally, like when it came out, we sat down and watched the first two or three episodes already.
Good.
Oh, it's great. That show is really, really solid. It's really solid.
I had like up and downs with it only in terms of like
the animation.
Yeah, like shitty expectations of like wanting it to be like Futurama or
Simpsons. Like kinda is, but it isn't at the same time.
It's its own thing.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's totally its own thing. And it's not like they cheap out on shit either, because there's a lot of stuff going on all at once. But like at the same time they do, and it seems very deliberate.
I think from season like 1 to 2, it got a lot better.
I think so too.
I guess it just needed money behind it or an audience behind it.
Probably. It's so good though, and it has like I feel like if you watch like older Simpsons, they have really subtle jokes, and then as the Simpsons got older and there was more and more episodes, the jokes became louder and wilder and like Family Guy esque, you know, like where it's just like shock value type of thing, but. Futurama was just like really smart jokes the whole way. And then Disenchantment has a lot of that where it's like subtlety, you know, like a little sign or a little, you know, quick statement or something, you know, that's what it's great.
Yeah. 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 I'm excited. I haven't started watching it, but I think I texted you the other night and said,
yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I think you texted me at like 2:50 AM.
Yeah. Cause I just started watching, which I don't know if you've ever seen Homeland.
No, I never watched it, like, with, like, Claire Danes?
I think so, yeah.
So not interested in that show.
Yo, I kind of always was, but I'm just so far behind that I was like, I'm not gonna. And then people started talking about it on podcasts, like, quite a bit. I heard it, like, 3 or 4 times how great the show is.
Yeah. Was this, like, 4 years ago or, like, 10 years ago?
That's what I mean. Everybody that's talking about it on these podcasts are, like, late to listening to it, I think. Or late to watching it or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But I seen Disenchantment, and Now I'm probably just going to jump to that.
Yeah, dude, Disenchantment solid. You know, I have my youngest, every time I put, like, I give her a nap or something, or I put her to bed, I hang out with her on the couch for a little bit, and I just put something on to watch just to kind of make her sleepy. And I watched a couple of really good things. I watched the Beastie Boys documentary on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
Which was so good. It was just like, it was so solid, and it's like very inspirational because they really talk through the beginning, and especially since they're like from New York, and they were like in like punk and hardcore bands at the beginning, and like the whole thing, it like with Rick Rubin, because Rick Rubin's from Long Island, and they, you know, like just like talking about like the differences between like the city and the island and all this kind of, and then like how they grew and how they changed and all this kind of shit. That was excellent. And
is then this I watched them on stage.
Yeah, yeah, they're on stage and they're just like talking through it. It's like a it's like a filmed presentation.
Yeah, okay, I've seen this. I've seen this a few months, I think.
So good.
Or was it? Is it super new?
But I've definitely seen it's not super new. It came out. I think it came out last year.
Okay.
At some point. But that was really good. And then I watched this other documentary on Hulu. Oh shit, dude! No, I watched two other documentaries on Hulu. You Cannot Kill David Arquette.
Yeah.
Where he's just like. He's like trying to get back into becoming a professional wrestler, which was great. And then Batman and Bill, where they talk about Bill Finger, who was like the co-creator of Batman, who never got any credit. Co-created. That was good too.
He never got any credit. Did he get paid?
Really? No, he died. He basically died like poor and alone.
Oh, nice, dude. That's my future.
Yeah, it is. If I have anything to do with it, it'll be your future.
Yeah. Oh, that's shitty. I don't know anything about either one of those things. That's a Hulu.
Yeah, those are both Hulu. I highly suggest both of them. They're both very entertaining.
No, I seen that You Can't Kill David Arquette on Netflix.
Maybe in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. It could be like some kind of like licensing shit like that.
Yeah. Actually, you might be right, because I don't think we have Hulu here, so it would probably be smart for Hulu to license shows.
Yeah. But it was good. It was good. I would watch it. It's interesting because he's a crazy dude, but he's also like really likable, you know.
Yeah.
But those were good. But you want to do some? Want to do some questions?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Check this out. Ready? Let's do some questions.
The question fairy.
The question fairy.
Oh, are we gonna? I guess this one's more. We're gonna talk this one out. But are we gonna do old dog new tricks? Is that gonna be a segment?
Let's do. You explain what it is.
Okay, so last podcast, me and you, after we record, we'll kind of just like bounce some ideas back and forth and stuff. Right. And you were showing me some files that you were exporting. And you were sharing your screen and you're like, check this out. And you kind of showed me like your workflow. And you're like, that's pretty sick, right? And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Why? That took you way too long. Even though it was like super quick.
Yeah.
And I showed you about exporting files with asset export in Illustrator.
Right.
That changed your life.
Dude, it is so funny. So like, anyone, and this happens with people of my age that I work with a lot, where if we're doing like a share screen, like our workflow is very similar, especially if they also learned Photoshop on their own the way that I did. You know, I just taught myself Photoshop. I was never formally trained in it. Same with Illustrator, same with InDesign. Well, InDesign, I knew how to use Quark. And then InDesign was just kind of like an Adobe version of Quark. So that was kind of easier to learn. But like when I watch people of my age or older use Photoshop, for the most part, we're using the same commands. Our palettes are laid out the same way. When I watch younger people use it, they're doing all sorts of shit that I don't understand. All these different like layer arrows and pointing and this and that and the other thing and exports and batch and actions and shit like you do.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't know what any of this is. Like I'll go for like save for web. Like I'll save out like TIFF files. I'll bring in like vectors into Photoshop to save them for like JPEGs and shit like that. Like this is all this stuff is like foreign to me, and I know it's existed in Illustrator for a long time, but I never learned how to do it, and I never really needed to sit there and learn how to export all these, you know, assets and how to do this and how to do that. Like, I just would do it the way that I do it, and that was the end of it, you know?
Yeah. And it was, like I said, like, it wasn't like it was super slow or anything.
No.
Your workflow.
Now, so you taught me, like, the asset export, right, where you just, like, group it, drag it into the panel, export it as a PNG or whatever. And
yeah.
So I was doing it, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to change my life. This is amazing. And last night I was working on some shit, and I group the files, and I drag them into the asset panel, and nothing happens. So I do it again, and nothing happens. I group it. I start it over. I do this. I do that. Blah, blah, blah. Nothing is working. So finally, I hit the little plus button. It adds it. And I'm like, oh, my God. Illustrator is, like, already broken from the two times that I used it.
Yeah.
And it didn't.
You know what? It's definitely user error.
Well, I don't know. I started cursing you in my head, like, right away. It's like, this fucking guy. Like, he gets me all psyched on this. And then it's garbage. It's all garbage. Going back to my old ways.
You're not using it?
Nah, are you? Maybe I will. I'll give it another shot, I guess.
You can do the same thing through Photoshop.
If it stiffs me again, I'm done. How do you do it in Photoshop? It doesn't even make sense to me how that would work in Photoshop.
You can, like, name the layers or groupings of layers, how you want to export them.
You showed me that too. I set up one file to work that way. I forgot how to do it since then.
Yeah. But if you do it, like, two or three times, and it just becomes a new workflow for you. Mm-hmm. Then
I already forgot.
Yeah, I mean, that's maybe the benefit of me working for, like, a corporation for so long, right?
Is learning how to do this quicker. Yeah.
How do I do this quicker, right. So I have more time to, like, be a normal functioning.
See, the way that I always do things quicker is not learning the shortcuts. And this goes for everything in my life. It's not learning the shortcuts. It's just doing it the same thing faster than I used to do it.
Yeah, well, this is, like, extremely fast.
But that's a shortcut.
So what are you saying? That the old dog, new tricks is definitely not going to be a segment, or it is going to be a segment?
I mean, we should try to keep it on there, but I'm going to push back on every single one of them.
Yeah. This is what causes people to storm the Capitol or whatever.
They did it because of, like,
changes?
Mm-mm. Asset management.
Yeah.
Export as a PNG directly from Illustrator. What? Yeah, I didn't know that's what it was about. Otherwise, I would have been there.
You would have stormed.
I didn't know QAnon was all about just like ways to, like, manage raster files out of a vector program.
Hugely misunderstood.
Fuck.
QAnon.
Really?
QAnon? QAnon?
Canine. Call them canine. Yeah. See what happens. They won't do anything.
Can you call them a bunch of dogs?
I feel like if you walked up to a QAnon guy and you were like canine, right? He'd be like, yeah, you know, sure, it's fine, whatever. Like, if, like, a guy's name is like Adam and you call him Alex and he's got no, like, self esteem, you're like, what's up, Alex? He'd be like, oh, that's fine, that's fine. And then someone's like, isn't your name Adam? He's like, no, it's fine. He could call me Alex. It's okay. It's all right. You know?
Dude, I in the morning, occasionally, I'll go pick up coffee from Starbucks. And Erin will order it on her phone using the app. So I'll just go through Starbucks and I'll just be like, order for Erin.
Yeah.
Like, mobile order for Erin. And they'll say, okay. But it's Erin. It's spelled like a girl.
Yeah.
And these people look at me so weird every single time. And it's like, has nobody ever ordered, like, has any nobody ever picked up drinks for somebody else?
Yeah.
And they look at me so weird. And the other day, and I quit going after this, the lady said, oh, so you're the elusive Erin. And I just didn't feel like explaining it. So I was just like, yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, well, Erin can also be a boy, like a boy's name. Doesn't have to be a girl's
name.
Not
the way it's spelled.
Sure, E-R-I-N.
That can't be a boy.
Why not?
No, it's Aaron.
I'm pretty sure that Irish people will use Aaron interchangeably as a male and female name. In fact, I believe that in Ireland, the majority of the Aarons are male.
E-R-I-N.
E-R-I-N. Aaron.
Interesting.
Now, see, here's the difference, too. As a New Yorker, I say Erin and Aaron, two very clearly different names. A lot of other people right just say both of them.
Aaron and Aaron.
Cool, that's helpful.
Blue and blue. Do you hear the subtlety?
Yeah, I hear it. I hear it. That'll work funny. In a party.
So you say Aaron and Aaron.
I say Aaron and Aaron.
Like A, like you really pronounce that A.
Aaron, yeah, because that's how it's spelled. It's not only does it have one A, but it has two A's just to make sure that you're saying it right.
Yeah, Aaron.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think, I guess here it's like less common specifically probably in my
Is
city
it?
Or whatever.
I don't know, man. You know what's so funny? Sometimes you tell me things about Canada and I take them to heart and I go, oh my God, Canada is not what I expected. This and that and the other thing. And Brent told me this. And then I'll meet another Canadian and be like, yeah, I heard about this in Canada. And they'll always be like, what? No.
No. All the time. Dude, I tell you what.
It's happened to me multiple times.
Yeah, but who do you believe?
I mean, I have to believe them. I don't trust you.
No, you know, I think the truth about Canada.
I'm also not sure because I think you might live in the worst part of Canada.
That is, yeah, no, absolutely. One of the worst central kind of Canada.
So definitely. like in the part of Canada that you live in, and I talk to somebody from Toronto or Vancouver, they're going to be like, what? That's not Canada. And then I'll be like, see?
Yeah, out east it kind of gets, they're more American for sure.
Yeah.
And then Vancouver's like hippies.
Hippies are in Vancouver? Well, Vancouver's like Seattle and Toronto's like New York, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Definitely. That's a great
and then
it's a great analogy.
Alberta's like right what? There. Montana?
Oh, so close. North Dakota probably.
Oh God, awful. Sorry to anyone listening in North Dakota, but no.
Nobody has internet in North Dakota. So
They still got like a paper boy and like a milk delivery.
Yeah, we're on the paper. We're going to be on the paper.
Oh my God. Yeah, maybe we should do that. We should buy an ad in the local North Dakota, you know, Times or whatever.
Oh man, do you think I could start taking out ads? Actually, we talked about this.
Dude, I had wanted. Every time I pass a billboard that is not within the confines of New York City, I always talk about how much would it cost to really rent that billboard?
Yeah, monthly.
Yeah. And then you're just like, I always have plans for like what I would put on that billboard.
we've talked about this specifically with like mutual friends where I wanted to start buying billboards in their area.
Yeah.
And advertising them.
Oh, nice.
Which would be great. Which would be wonderful.
This is I'm Ralph. Gonna, he's cool.
Yeah. And put their number and stuff like that. I'm skipping the catch up. We're going right to the hot minute.
Oh, right to the hot minute. Yeah. Is that going to get old?
No.
No, we're going to keep that.
that's the new sound effect.
All right, it's in. I'm going to keep adding to the sound effects. If you don't like the sound effects, write in and I'll ignore it.
Definitely make a point to write in. Go write a positive review, but mention that you don't like the sound effects.
Right, and I'll ignore it.
Yeah.
And I'll continue. I mean,
does anybody ever pay attention to like true criticism?
Yeah, too many people. Too many people, I think.
Yeah.
I think they, but maybe they don't pay attention to it in the way that they should.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like they don't make the change that's necessary.
Right. Right. It'll be like legit critiques and then they get defensive.
Oh, yeah.
So fast.
I feel like our industry is different for that. Like, at least.
Yeah, people want
to be good. You can make that up. I feel like I've had to be able to, and I'm sure you're the same way, is like to be better, you just have to like, when you tell me to change something, I'm like, cool. Like you explain why.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can like truly use your words to really articulate what needs to be better and someone that you're working with really wants to be better, you're good.
Yeah.
If either one of those people suck, it's a disaster.
I feel like that's something that, and I'm sure you've probably noticed too, is like I've picked up hugely from you. is how to critique something or be like, hey, this isn't working because of this, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. or whatever. Not that it works every time, but like,
right.
yeah, definitely.
Right.
So when are you going to make some downloadable Procreate brushes? So you go to sleep in a bed made of money after we all melt our credit cards buying them.
I love the melting credit cards idea. Like, yeah. just, is that like someone swiping so fast that it just melts? Or it's just like yes. it, the Procreate brushes, you buy so many of them and you type in your card so many times that the card in your hand is just like, it can feel the use and the plastic just starts like melting in between your fingers.
This question made me excited.
You like this one because we're going to do it.
Yeah. We've already been talking about doing it.
Yeah, we already started testing some.
Yeah, I think the only reason we don't do a lot of these things is like, I do know you're the same way, is like, I'm not, the money is like we've talked about this tons, is like, the money's not really the motivating. It's nice to make the money or whatever, but sure. like, you don't want to put out garbage.
Well, the funny thing is so I was on the phone with the guy from Mohawk Paper about the notebooks. Mm-hmm. Yep. And we were talking about it, and he was like, why do you want to do it? I was like, because I want them. I was like, I got all these pocket notebooks, and I don't really like any of them. You know, it's yeah. like, they're good enough. I said, but this just like, I just want it to be, I don't know, a little bit more open. I don't know, just like, just be more the way that I would want them to be. Yep. And it's just like, I don't really care if anyone else buys them or not. Like, I just want them for myself. You know, and that I'm sure other people will be in the same mindset as me, you know, and it's just, I just want them because that's how I want to draw, you know?
I mean, down to like the size that you've decided and things
yeah,
like that.
There's no like, standard size on these bad boys. This is yeah. completely custom.
Yeah. Which is, yeah.
It's, but like, you know, I was thinking about that too, because like a lot of them are like the 3.5 by the 5.5, and there's all these like, people make like leather covers for them and all that shit and whatever. But like, when it comes down to it, they're just these like little notebooks that are just made with paper. Like, yeah. I don't need a cover for mine. You know, like I'll fold it up and throw it in my pocket. I don't give a shit if it gets beat up, if it turns blue from my jeans. I don't care.
Yeah,
if
we
it,
talked
like,
about this yeah. last podcast. Is like, I don't want it to be like super expensive and leather covers.
No.
And because I want it to be the tool that is ideas.
Let it feel disposable. I think I might have settled on the name. I want them to be the ugly book. One word.
Contino, the ugly
book. Contino, ugly books.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what I
like
want.
That.
Because I want them to not feel precious. I want them to yeah. feel like it's just where your bad ideas go, you know? And eventually there's like a good idea in there. Or something yeah. cool pops out of it. But I want it to be not precious. I want it to just throw your ugly ideas in there. And together, make something beautiful, you know?
Yeah. Like these ones that I've been ordering for a while from the UK and stuff are, I feel like, similar to what you're doing.
Right.
And the reason I love these is, like, they almost come. Like, I know you're small, but these come beat up. Because they're just shitty cardboard, and they get here and they're already beat up, and I don't have to worry. But like, you know, the first time you like bend a page or something, yeah. like that, you're like, ah, fuck. But like these kind of, I don't have to worry about that. They come fucked.
No, dude, it's to and you know, it, man, I think we talked about this last episode, but like, and not having a notebook of my brain trash.
Yeah.
I feel like is a disservice to my kids.
Yeah.
You know, like my wife and I were talking about this earlier about like kind of like what we would leave to our kids and shit like that. And, you know, wills and all that kind of stuff. I forget what brought it up, but like I was thinking about the one thing from my dad that I want, you know, like when we get to that point when my parents aren't here anymore, you know, like I don't care about stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't, you know, I can't think of anything. You know, my mom, I want her artwork. My dad, the one thing that I would want of his would be these notebooks that he uses to put his schedule in. Because just the way yeah. he does it, I find it to be so, it's like such a window into that person.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like I don't care. I don't care about money. I don't care about any shit. Like, I just want like those notebooks because I feel like that is such a, like a personal piece of a person is just these mm-hmm. notebooks and how you write about your day and the little notes that you scroll in the corner of the page, the way that something is crumpled on one and the other one's more pristine, you know, like all those things just feel like that's a living, breathing thing that never goes away. You know, like it never dies. Yeah. As long as those books exist, those ideas never die. And I think that's like the greatest, it's like the best thing about books, you know?
Yeah. No, it's, and I got books like that from my grandpa and stuff like that. And right. I wish I had more, you know?
Right.
Cause yeah. And that's the thing is like, I have things, I don't know, like government documents and classes and things like that, that he took him to that kind of stuff. I'm like, who cares?
Yeah.
And that'll be like probably for your kids as well, as like the printed versions of your work. Honestly, who cares?
Yeah, like realistically. Whatever. You just make it again.
Yeah. Yeah. Print it again. I used to be like, nothing. I gotta save this shirt that mm-hmm. I designed and stuff like that. And now I'm like, I have the fucking file. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
But it's like with the sketches leading up to that.
Right. Right, right, sure. right. Yeah, it's such a magical thing, you know? Because it's like you're literally imprinting your brain onto these sheets. And especially when it's not like a, you know, like when it's these little shit books that cost like $10 for three of them or whatever it is, you know, like it's such a nice thing to just be so haphazard and careless with what goes in it, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing is, and I feel like in the last, I mean, I only started using these in March again, and it's like, I feel like I fucked up not using them before because I can already see how much I've grown just in like those few months of sketching daily and things like that and sketching ideas out. And because I think I can get lost, and I'm sure this is true for a lot of people, is like you can get really lost in the finalized version and how you want that thing to really work.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of like insignificant to the idea.
If
that makes sense.
I mean, the process is always the most interesting part. Like the final, it's so funny. Like I care so little about the final of anything. And I'm so much more, like whenever we do branding stuff or projects, like bigger projects like that, and there's a bunch of different ideas that are explored, like I'm always just like, I want to share all of the ideas for this one project. Like, and I know that's not the point of it. The point is to come down and like settle on like one idea that can be representative of an idea for the brand and the future and blah, blah, blah. But like when I go back and I look, I'm like, I just, you know, there's like three awesome concepts here. And if I know that one of them is never going to be able to be used for anything else, like it's just like burning a hole on the screen, you know, like I want people to see that.
Dude, that's what hurts the most is like when you're designing like a graphic or something, chances are you're going to be able to use that again later on. But when you're like really making something meaningful to that brand, that's where it kind of like when those things don't get used and you're like, this is something that's...
Oh, it hurts. It stings.
Yeah. And I know you've had that on a large scale and I mean, it's funny because I'll like message you and I'll be like, man, this fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, dude, it's one brand.
Yeah.
Like you've experienced that a lot, right? But I'm just like, oh no.
Every project, man. It's every project. Yeah. And it's like once you get into the swing of things and you hit your stride, and you know, I feel like years ago when I found like my voice, even the stuff that I knew wasn't good for the brand was good in a different way in my head. You know, like it just like the execution was good. Or the concept was good. And it's not always everything that's good, but it's something that really stuck with me. And I would just be like, man, I really liked it. I wish I could use that for something. And you try to squeeze it in places sometimes. And sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. But like,
it's never as good.
Well, there's so much work. And it's just like, you don't care that it's good work. You just care that it's a lot of work. And it's like a lot of ideas. And it's a lot, like, it doesn't even matter what it looks like. It's just like, I don't know. It's an intangible that becomes tangible, and it's you just keep imprinting these thoughts, you know, on pages or on the screen or whatever. And it's amazing to see it come through because you imagine it for so long. You go to bed thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it. You're eating your lunch thinking about it. And then it's there and it exists. And whether it's right or not doesn't matter. It's just like there it is. You know, it exists. It's birthed.
And if it's in these sketchbooks, it does have some meaning past
Yeah.
being just crushed by And I mean, yeah, like you said, it's not a bad thing that clients crush good ideas.
No.
Things like that. But
no, not a bit. It's, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, that's the whole point of it, you know? Like, you can't, mm-hmm. not everything is absolutely perfect. Like, you want to be able to say, this was a failure, you know? But the failures are just as interesting. Like, maybe they're not as good at selling a product or telling the right story, but they're interesting from the creator's position, you know?
Yeah. Okay, this is really important. This is an important question.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think we've ever mentioned this, but I think this is, a lot of people have asked this. You've mentioned in past episodes that when you get mad, you have quite the temper. Have you ever lost your cool on a client? How do you balance it?
I've lost my cool, but I've never lost my cool ever, mm-hmm. ever. I've had to sternly lecture a client a handful of times, and that's in its own, and it's, I've never done it in a way, I don't think, where I come off looking like the asshole.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like one of my, I always say this, I feel like my best skill is my ability to communicate, not necessarily to create, but my ability to communicate. Yeah. So if I can communicate an idea, I can also communicate displeasure with something really well. Yeah. And I feel like I'm pretty good at it. If a client is doing something wrong, I think I'm good at letting them know that.
Yeah.
Without coming across like an asshole, like where they will read it and they won't have anything to say back. You know, like I'm very calculated with the way I say things or the way mm-hmm. that I do things, because I don't want to come across as a caveman that's just like smashing, you know, my keyboard, like, fuck you, this and that. And I've complained about this before. Like when some designers get really mad about something that a client said or someone asking them to work on spec or some shit, and then they like take screenshots and post it online kind of like blow them up. Like, nah, dude. Like, you gotta be smart about the way that you handle these things. You don't want to embarrass someone. But you want to make someone understand why they're doing something that is maybe disrespectful or not thoughtful or rude or something along those lines. You have to make them understand. And if they don't understand, which is very, very rare, I think I've only had one person in my entire career be completely unreasonable. And I just give them, you know, if you ever change your mind or if you ever need anything, please don't hesitate to reach out. But thank you. You know, like, just kind of shut it down, like, don't waste my breath on it. But no,
I think that's a really good point that you made too, though, is like, not to, like, those seeing people like blow companies up online, which I just sent you on the other day. And it's like, they might be totally right. That company might be a piece of shit.
Right.
But all you're doing is showing me that, like, if we have any kind of like disagreement or are you going to go blow me up on social media?
Yeah.
I don't know that. Right. I'd have to assume that like there's probably two sides, and if we can't reasonably communicate and reach some like resolution, are you just gonna blow me up on social media?
Yeah, you come across looking like and not that you owe anything to people who are reaching out to you and being rude or anything like that, but you're also mm-hmm. I feel like you're showing like a weakness, and you're showing that you could potentially be not loyal to someone who does choose you. And, you know, like, it, like, does your next client think that if they make a wrong move, you're going to blow them up on social media?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
if they don't have the budget for it, truly don't have the budget, and they say, hey, can you do it for this much? Or are you just going to go say, what a cheap piece of shit client?
Are you going to embarrass them because of, you know, you think that they're not what, you know, whatever they're supposed to be or something like that? Like, some people, you know, it's so funny too, because like, I've heard some people just be like, well, I never got in touch with you because I thought you were going to be too expensive, or you were going to be this, or you were going to be that. And but then there's other people who are just like, I just gave it a shot. And I'm like, cool. Yeah, I'm down. Let's do it. You know, like, it's,
you are a business.
Yeah.
If you were too expensive for most people, it'd be like,
right. I mean, like, it's, you know, there's some people who are just like, so infamous, I guess. Like, I'm not gonna say famous, but there's some people that are so infamous that they're like, I don't, you know, like, everything is, it's got to be $10 million or I don't even look in your direction kind of shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For the most part, people are not like that. You know, that's like a rare breed. It doesn't exist, I think, for the most part in regular life. You know, even like I wanted to get a tattoo by Mr. Cartoon out in L.A. Mm-hmm. And he does all the celebrities and shit like that. And this was years and years ago. And the guy got back to me, his you know, whoever works in his shop. And he was like, yeah, he was like, he'll do it. He's like, but it's going to be like $3,000 up front to get your appointment. And it's like supply and demand. So I get that. And it's worth it for someone who's got a history like that. But it's not like they blew me off because I wasn't fucking Justin Bieber or Justin Timberlake or another Justin, I guess.
Yeah.
but, you know, it's like, it's a business, you know? If you want to pay for it, pay for it. If you can't afford it, you can't afford it. If the person wants to do it and they're willing to lower their price for you, you got yourself a deal.
Yeah.
You know? But I think anyone who loses their cool, that's just like, to me, that shows really like, that's like Bush League, you know? Yeah. You can lose your cool in certain situations, but like you gotta be very deliberate as to when those situations are.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever over email or anything been an asshole.
I mean, even in real life, like I've gotten into plenty of fights in my life, mm-hmm. you know? But like it's only when it's been, in my eyes, 100% necessary where it's had to come to that. You know what
Mine's
I mean?
Mine's always been like high school bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah. yeah. Well, I've had where some adult probably... ones.
Yeah, I haven't had too many.
Yeah. Well, you had that neighbor with the dog.
Yeah, that's true. And see, for me, it's like I get too heated. And to me, it's like I don't want to be in those situations as an adult because I do feel like we have to take this to the – like if we're going to do it, we got to go.
Yeah.
We're not going to like slap each other. You know what I mean? So it's like
– Right.
I'm going to feel like I'm fighting for my life.
Right.
Because what if I have to?
And right, it's like, exactly. Exactly.
So I try to avoid those situations. But if your dog fucking, if you got a dog, I'm going
to I'm coming for you. I got into a fight. I told you the story. I got into a fight. I was in an issue of The Great Discontent, and there was a magazine launch party in Brooklyn. And I went, and I don't think I told the story on the podcast, but I went, did a talk there. It was like a very nice event. Everyone was very nice, blah, 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 blah. I was with my brother and my wife and my sister-in-law. And we went to go get pizza and there was like, it was an argument. And I got into a fight with a guy in the middle of Greenpoint Avenue. And it was a whole big thing. It took like an hour, you know, it was like, everyone was out of their apartments. It was January. It was like 10 degrees outside. There was snow and ice on the ground. It was miserable. And my wife just yelled at me. She goes, "You're a father. Stop it." You know, and that really put a lot of things into perspective where it's just like, I can't be losing my cool in the middle of the street with somebody. You don't know what's going on. Like, you don't know who's got a gun. Yeah. You don't know who's got nothing left to lose, you know?
Yeah.
And then you also kind of look like an asshole, you know, like you just look like a fool, even if you're in the right for the most part, you still look, it's just, so I try to avoid getting to that level, you know?
You know, with that being said, though, that's also like, I know that it's going to get too fucking, it's going to go too extreme too quick.
Right.
For both of us involved if it has to get there. So it's like, I'd rather, just turn my head, walk away.
Yeah. You know what the difference is, too, is that, and I get this a lot from people who are, I guess, expect a certain thing from me. And I don't know what it is exactly. I don't know why people think certain things of me, you know. I'm not really
because you're a stereotypical Italian from New York.
Yes, yeah, I guess so. But like, I come from a line of people that just don't take shit from people. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like my dad never took shit from people. My mom is tough as hell. You know, even my wife is tough as hell. I'm surrounded by people who just like don't appreciate being walked on by other human beings, you mm-hmm. know? And if someone's doing something wrong, and I also, not to mention, you know, I grew up with a brother who had, you know, a serious disability and people would try to take advantage of him all the time.
Yeah.
So like I spent my childhood growing up trying to defend people that couldn't defend themselves and taking that personally, you know? So that's just like, it's just something I would always follow through on. And to this day, like, you know, if there's somebody who I feel like is getting treated unfairly or something, I instantly go into attack mode or something. And if there's some bullshit going on, I think it's like a scam, or if people are being taken by it, or, you know, even with these, you know, people who act a certain way and try to like trick people into doing shit or whatever, like, I'm just not going to like that person.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually, this was a question that got sent to us, which I think kind of like leads into it, right? Like, this was the thing that we were going to talk about, was like these, where's the question?
What does it say? What are your thoughts on this cult of personalities in design culture, and how do you deal with megalomaniac designers?
Yeah, this is like, and it's not just for design either. This is just life in general. You know, like these people who are so full of themselves. I don't understand. Like, it's like a Trump thing too. Like we were talking about at the beginning. Like, if someone is exuding confidence at such a level that people who have less confidence look at that and they feel envious of the amount of confidence that person has, to the point where they think that person must know something more than them or must be better than them, because why would they feel so confident in themselves to feel that way? But like, really, that person is just kind of swindling them at the same time. Like, like, why are you wasting your time? You know?
That's weird, because if you take a lot of those instances and a lot of those people and you, it's like they say sound bites that sound good or something like that. Right. Does that make sense? And it's like, if you were to dissect that, what they're saying, it's like, it's not really that deep. It's not really, it doesn't have, there's no depth to it. And it's kind of just like, you're just saying some shit that somebody else said.
Some people just love to hear themselves talk.
Yeah.
And they just want to just be like some, and I don't know if it's like a childhood thing, like an emotional thing, where like maybe their parents didn't pay enough attention to them. So like when they're out in other places, they need to feel like they are the most important, the most smart, the most talented, the most whatever. And they need people, they need to shower them with adoration and respect and praise, you know? And it's so like to me, just be fucking good at what you do, you know?
Yeah.
Like the people who, and it, you know, 2020 is the perfect example of this, right? Because we realize that the people that we hero worship are not fucking heroes at all. You know, the people who are good and solid at their jobs, the people who are, quote, nobodies, are the ones that we all relied on to live. You know, the fucking, the trash collectors, the grocery store people, the, you know, like all these people, the delivery people, all these people who just do like normal everyday things, blah, 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 blah. They're the ones who actually kept shit going. Like I look to those people who essentially looked into the face of death, really, because we're going to close in on 500 million people dead soon, probably, you know, it's like right around the corner. And it's just like, it's just like dumb to just like sit there and like watch someone who really isn't doing anything for anybody and just be like, oh, what a fucking hero this person is.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. And I mean, you're right to say it's kind of like that Trump thing. It feels like it just trickles down from that.
Yeah.
That politicians say whatever is going to make people agree with you or see something. Like, you're not saying anything meaningful. You're not doing anything meaningful. Right. You're literally toting a party line kind of thing.
Right.
Like,
and you have all the different types, right? You have your snake oil salesman who get up at a podium and they're like, now listen here. You know, you got those types who basically have nothing to sell you. You know, like they'll sell you, but there's nothing there. It's all vanishware. They're just selling you like a ghost. You know, here's a form. This is what it's going to do. It's going to be great. And you bring it home. Yeah. You bring it home and it disappears. right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then there's the other ones who are just like, you can compare them to like the intellectuals, where they sit there and their quiet dignity and the way that they kind of like talk, every word is so precious, you know, makes them seem like they're smarter than you, that they're better than you. Those are the other types too, where it's just like you get the two ends of the spectrum, where it's like the dumb hit you over the head with the garbage, and then it's like the quiet, you know, like laser focused tearing you to shreds type of thing, you know. And those are the two like two forces, I feel like, that we would look at as the different types of, you know, egomaniacs or whatever, that are just, they need to stand above the rest of us. And so many people give them fuel.
Yeah.
For why, I don't know. I will never understand.
You know what it is, man? It is the same problem with being like going to a movie and being like, fuck, dude, Brad Pitt is the shit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, how about the director? How about the person that wrote that movie?
Right.
Who did, you know what I mean? Like those are more important than the actor, unfortunately.
Right.
I'm just going to say, I mean, there's probably some good actors, but.
Well, it's also the thing too, like say for instance, it's not only not recognizing the people who are actually contributing something of value, but it's also the people around you who refuse to be honest with themselves or with the people around them. So if you're just like, yo, Brad Pitt was awesome in that movie. And in my head, I'm watching, I'm like, yo, that was terrible. But like, I'm too scared to have my own opinion or to have like a differing opinion. I go, dude. Yeah, he was good. He was not my favorite. Yeah, no, he's good. No, you're right. He was awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it's just like that little bit by little bit. And then all of a sudden you have a whole crowd and you're like, yo, just unbelievable performance. Unbelievable, you know?
Yeah, I will say this is so true. And maybe it's about actually finding like a community of people where it's okay to be like to disagree and things like that, because when I first watched Grand Budapest Hotel, I loved that movie by Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
And I seen a few others and I was like, oh, that was pretty good. And then you said to me one time, you said, if you've seen one, you've seen them all. And now I literally cannot watch a Wes Anderson movie because I'm just like, oh, here's this fucking scene. Here's this next scene is gonna happen. And so I think it's okay for you to accidentally, I guess, fall victim to these, like, which Wes Anderson's a fine director, whatever, but
yeah
it's okay for you to like accidentally fall for snake
fit. Well, like, I had a friend years ago who really liked Radiohead, and my favorite thing to do was to tell him that Radiohead was overrated.
Yeah.
And just tell them that they're garbage. Like, I like Radiohead. Radiohead's fine, but like the amount of hype that they used to get like back in the day and everything, I got so much joy out of just telling him how overrated they were.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of become also what, like, it's 2020 is over now, but I think I texted you 2020 and said, you're of perfect vision. And I was just like, if somebody told me like they like Trump, I would just tell them why he wasn't cool. And if somebody said they didn't like Trump, I was like, well, he's not that bad.
Yeah.
Like, you just kind of want to go again. I just wanted to like hear, and people then argue their point, and then you can really dissect.
Yeah.
Like,
is it
a good point? And sometimes people have a really great point.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
It's almost like, you almost want to, like, I almost devil advocate everything.
I mean, that's your MO. Like, you constantly are just like, and you'll flip it fast too, where you'll like, you'll play devil's advocate and then like, I'll say something else and you'll be like, no, well, yeah. And then like totally take the opposite side.
Yeah. Well, cause like most of the time when I'm making an opinion, and it's exactly that, like what you said, is like, I'm not truly making that opinion. Like, it's not my opinion. It's just some like things that I've heard. And then I say it to you and you'll be like, well, this.
Regurgitating.
And I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Dude, I will say, I will say though, that like, in the design industry and going to conferences, there are very specific people who I will look at and I'll be like, yeah, hell yeah. You know what I mean? And then there's very specific people who I'll stand there and roll my eyes so hard and look around and be like, do people like what this person is saying? Like, do they legitimately like it? Because all I'm hearing is garbage, you know? Because a lot of times, like, designers don't belong on stage. That's number one. you know, a lot of, and not just on the physical stage, but in the public arena stage. And that's kind of like the social media thing, like propping people up, you know? Yeah. And it's just like, why does your opinion matter? And that kind of goes, I guess that goes for everybody with social media. I mean, we have a fucking podcast. Why does our opinion matter?
It's exactly that. It used to just be conferences where you had to hear people like expose the personality in the industry.
Yeah.
And it's like, why the fuck do I care about this person in this industry?
Right.
Like, it makes no sense that I would listen to them talk about, as like you said, as we're sitting here talking about our opinion. But like, I don't want to hear a designer's opinion on Trump or Biden or like most of the time. You know what I mean?
Right. Like when I, like my thoughts of what a conference should be would be, and it's, I don't even want to see people's work. I don't care about people's work. I want to see your sketches. I want to see your process. Yeah. I want to hear about your mistakes. I want to learn about something that I didn't know about before. You know, I think we talked about that Adobe conference that I went to, and there was that doctor that was there, and she was talking about like sleeping and your brain's response and blah, blah, blah. That was a good example of, she didn't make anyone feel like lesser than her, even though she clearly knew much more than everyone in the room. She shared really valuable information. She shared interesting information with people who wouldn't have known it before. Like, that was a good choice of a speaker, you know? Yep. Like, the people who were just like, they do the same thing that everybody else does. They happen to have a bigger following than the other people who do it, and then get up on stage or you know, write about it online or do a video or something acting like they invented it. You know, it's just like, oh, come on. Like, we all know the truth, but like, some people just fall for it hard.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I'm going to start going to those things and heckling no matter what it is.
I like the idea of heckling at a design conference, because most designers, and I mean like 99.9% of them, won't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because designers aren't comedians. Like, a comedian can take a heckler and turn it around and get acidic about it.
Yes.
Yeah. Designers, I feel like, would just like crawl in a ball into the corner of the stage and just be like, please stop.
Yeah, well, please don't say that about me. Yeah. Please don't tell me the truth is mostly what
I've seen people in my life who were the most opinionated, the most self-righteous, the most condescending, have someone call them out on it and shut down immediately. Yeah. You know? Just,
you know what?
Turn off.
That being, like, you almost, I mean, it's hard as we do this podcast to like really just be hypocrites here, but
yeah,
you literally probably shouldn't have opinions on those things. And I think social media, to get followers, you have to post. So you're encouraged to post a lot.
Yeah.
So you're almost encouraged to share your thoughts. Too much. You probably shouldn't have those thoughts.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, social media, I think, is the true cancer of modern society. You know, it's just you're right. Like, you have to, you're encouraged to just spew. Like we were talking about notebooks, right? Like, putting those in a book is a beautiful thing. Putting them out in public is a disgusting thing.
Yeah.
What makes them different? Because you're forcing your ideas on other people as opposed to keeping it to yourself and letting other people discover them. I think the discovery process is what makes that like emotional, mental, like, explosion so interesting. But when you're doing it and you're just like shouting it at people and it's not open to discussion, but you're still yelling at them, it's disgusting. It's horrible.
Yeah. And I think this is definitely a topic for another podcast for sure. Like, in terms of just that exactly.
And you know, we were talking about, we should probably wrap up a little bit, but like, we were talking about like bringing on guests and stuff more in 2021, which I think is fine. Like, we both kind of independently had that idea. And originally that wasn't the plan. It was kind of just mostly just us. But I think, we've gotten so many really good questions that we get to talk about, that it might be interesting for us to talk with other people about them. And it's not so much like we're just going to let them go. I think it's more about the bigger discussion that we can all have kind of together about it, and like try to be honest with a lot of these things. Because that's what people really want, you know, like everybody just wants the truth, you know, because the truth is what you think in your head, and the truth is what you go home with at night. It's maybe not what you do during the day or see at work or watch on TV or read on the internet or some shit, but it's the, you can't hide from the truth, you know?
Yeah. I think I've said this quote before, but it's like, history is just telling the truth using the most acceptable lies. And kind of when you get a bunch of people together, that's what you're doing, is you're, you know, through discourse, figuring out what that truth is, whether it's the real accurate truth, but something that we can all agree on potentially.
Right.
Or not, you know?
Well, and the other thing is too, that's unfortunate, is that I don't think it'll ever change regardless of what people say and how much effort a group of people put into being honest and faithful to information. There's always going to be people who feel insecure, insignificant, or less than, that are going to try to prop themselves up to feel like they're more than they are.
Yeah.
And in reality, I think it would be so much nicer if, it's fucking wishful thinking, utopia bullshit, but like if everyone was kind of just like, okay, John's a loudmouth, Brent is quiet, Brent is smarter about this than John is, and John will yell about his opinion and blah, blah, blah. Like, but like to be honest about those things and to say, you know, like just let it happen and not feel like you're looking down on someone for being a certain way, or, you know, having your opinion in a certain way, or just being different in that sense. You know, it's frustrating. And I think it's interesting to be able to have a conversation with someone else who also recognizes it. It's like the Zoolander thing, right? Like, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills when someone's just like, this is amazing. And you're like, what? That?
Yeah.
Like, I can tell you factually that that's dog shit. Like, it's not an opinion. That's actual garbage, you know? Yeah. But, like, it's that group, like, herd mentality of just being like, no, it's great. It's great. Why do you think it's great? Well, my friend showed it to me. It's like, okay, got you. Yeah, okay, got you. Like, you're just stealing.
I like that color that they use.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird, though, that the world has become largely promoting equality, and people are different and they got to be different and things like that, which is important. Really, what's happened is it's kind of just circled to like, you can be different, but as long as you're the same as everyone else.
Yeah, you can be different in the same way.
Yeah. As long as we all agree on this. And it's like, I heard somebody talking about that, like, canceling hate speech and things like that. And it's like, that's the issue, is then you just start canceling the speech that you hate, not necessarily hate speech.
Oh, God. Is that like the hardest thing to discuss? Like, I love the quote of, I may not agree with what you say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it.
Yeah.
You know, like it's such a good quote until someone says something so horrible that you're just like, damn, like.
We should almost let them keep saying the horrible things. And then over time, those people will, like, realistically, it's like, do we really have to, like, look at what Trump is tweeting? There's no like question this guy's an idiot.
Right.
But look at any politician.
Right.
If you hear them speak long enough, you're like, this guy's a fucking idiot.
Right.
Or, you know? So it's like, let's just let them talk themselves into being idiots. And that's in our industry, like those conferences and stuff. Like, you listen to these people talk long enough and you're just like, I can't get on board with that.
Well, the idea, I think, is that hopefully you let someone hang themselves, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to go in there and be the judge, jury, and executioner. So you know what I mean? Like, just let them keep, you know, tying that noose.
Yeah.
Just let them do it to themselves, because eventually a person of that magnitude is going to talk themselves out of, like the heart of the public.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, maybe they'll be great at first, and like there's like a small sect of people that are just like, I love this guy, you know, this person is amazing. And then like more people sign on to it because it becomes like a bigger thing. And then, but like as wild as it gets. And it, again, it doesn't have to be politics. It could be design. It could be any job. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be kids in a school for all that matters. You know, like some kid could be new to the class and he's like a wild guy, you know, and everybody thinks it's funny at first, but then you get tired of it after a while. And you're just like, I just want to go back to the way things were when people were more moderate. You know, like this one's not like eating everyone's crayon off of their desk. Like on Tuesday, that was hilarious. But by Friday, I don't have any crayons to draw with, my guy.
Oh, man, I love those kids in school. Those are my favorite kids. It's sad, the evolution of those kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's just, oh man, and it, you know, it's these days, it's so hard, I think, to just want to like just live amongst everyone else because there's so many people finger pointing. Like if you like you can feel a certain way, like for me, for example, like I just think people should be equal. I think people are people, and equality is a very important thing. And it's there are certain people who are just like when you say a statement like that, you're automatically labeled as a radical person or whatever. And it's just like, what happened to just like, I can disagree with you because I'm not the same religion as you. Fine. I can disagree with you because what I choose to do for a living is different. Fine. Like all these things, but you coexist in a way that just is like, we can all be different. We can all live the same lives. I can still go to the supermarket with you and we don't have to get into a fist fight, you know?
So but, either we got to like agree that we're going to have discourse and we're going to allow people to have those hard conversations.
Right.
Or we got to agree to not fucking talk about religion or politics or what you had for breakfast.
Yeah.
That could be no longer.
It's, and I think for the most part, you see people generally, most people want to be in that place where they're not having hard conversations about shit that in general really won't make that much of a difference in your relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, like you can argue about who you hate as president and who you do this and blah, blah, blah. But like at the end of the day, that person doesn't mean shit to you in your relationship with your best friend or your neighbor or whatever it is. Like it's not going to change the fact that like your neighbor, like, you know, mows your lawn on Fridays or some shit, or like you shovel their sidewalk or whatever, you know, like those things, they're not really that related, you know?
Yeah.
Until shit gets really extreme.
It's a small sliver of people, I think, that are kind of fucking it up for everybody.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it as this large thing, but it's really just like a narrow, because I would say most conversations that I have with people on social media and things like that, or just in general, it's like pretty friendly. I know that we agree on things.
Right.
We might like differ in opinions and things like that, but for the most part, like everyone does want to get along.
Well, you know, it's the thing that sucks is like when it comes to like what we're living in right now with the pandemic, where people are so against like wearing a mask when you go outside. You know, when it gets to the point where like these opinions start actually endangering other people, that's when you're just like, great, now I have no choice but to have hard conversations because I'm trying to actually actively defend my life, you know?
Yeah.
And that's when this is over, I don't know if people will ever learn a lesson from it. I think some people will, other people won't. But it's just like you take all these things, you take egomaniac designers, you take egomaniac entertainers and politicians and athletes and trash collectors and grocery store people, like anyone who's just like got this thing, and you blow it up and you blow it up and you blow it up and you blow it up, and eventually it all comes crashing down. And then, you know, how do you go back to normal after that? And how do you just like keep doing what you like? You could be at a design conference and there could be someone up on stage saying outrageous shit where you're just like, wow, this person should not be up on stage. And you could yell out and you could heckle that person and just be like, you're a crock of shit, you know?
Yeah.
And like maybe some people turn around, they look at you, maybe a couple people recognize you, maybe you lose a couple of jobs from it. And then it's just all of a sudden like that has like an effect on you because, you know, like, I don't know. I don't ever want to make it sound like you shouldn't state your opinion and you shouldn't fight for what you believe in. But there's like sometimes you got to pick your battles also. So it's like if there's like megalomaniac personalities in our industry, like, fine. If? You know? Yeah, yeah. Like, if people want to follow and just, like, go along and just and be dragged by, you know, people who are either inexperienced or experienced in bullshitting, you know, it's fine. If that's what you want to be, you're not going to get anything out of it. You know, I'll be over here growing. I'll learn.
You know what? I said this the other day. Is like, have you heard of that new app, Canva?
No.
Like everyone's using it to design like their brochures and things like that. No. And somebody asked me the other day, are you scared that's going to take away business from you? And it's like, honestly, no.
Yeah,
like,
not at all.
First off, that client that uses that instead of using me probably didn't want to pay for it.
Exactly.
So it would have been shitty. They would have asked for 100 fucking things.
Yep.
Let them use this limiting app to see that it's very, very limiting in what they can do. And it's kind of like if you want to follow these cult of personality design fucking guru people, go ahead. But like you're probably not going to grow.
Yeah, exactly.
You as a designer.
You're not going to learn anything from someone who just talks about themselves and how great they are constantly. Like, I don't want that. I just want to learn from somebody. Like, teach me something new. Make me better than what I am now. I want to be better. And that's that's the thing I always want. I always want to be better. I always want I'm always in competition with the world around me. I want to be the best that I can be. I don't want to put anyone down. I don't want anyone to feel less than me. I just want to be a better person. I want to be a better dad, a better husband, a better designer, a better neighbor, a better whatever. You know, I just want to be better. And I could be as good or bad as I am right now. But tomorrow, I hope that I could have learned something today or done something better or made a mistake that I could use to become better. And I'm not that old, but like in my lifetime, I feel like I've learned that that's a better way to be, you know, just learn, just, there you go. I fucking learned that. Fucking learn how to learn.
That point I just made, that's something I learned. Yeah. What is that? There's that saying, dude, I just come with all the quotes, huh?
Yeah, you're a quote master. You have no idea where they come from, though.
Yeah. I mean, I could tell you, but I don't want to tell you because it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
The only easy day was yesterday.
Yeah, yes.
You know what I mean? You can always be like striving to be like trying to do something harder the next day.
Right.
And putting that easy behind you, essentially.
Right. Or the other thing too, like no one interesting ever had an easy life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Yeah.
There's, I love that.
There's like a few European writers that I've been reading about lately who just like battled the entire world around them.
Yeah.
And like weren't friends with any of the writers. And if you read like their accounts, it's like everyone hates me.
Yeah.
They kind of like are at war with everyone. And then they like get statements from people around them and people are like, oh, I like them. I like their writing. But these people just like put up these walls. I think it's like probably necessary for a lot of them, you know, for a creative. It's,
dude,
in a weird way.
You said something that made me think about it too. With the yesterday thing, are there any megalomaniac personalities that have really faced true like
hardship?
Yeah. Because I feel like they take something and they blow it up to make it seem like more than it is. The people who have like actually actively fought against something never come across as megalomaniacs ever.
Because that shit humbles you, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, perfectly said.
Yeah.
Perfectly said. That's exactly right.
And you know what, man? It's like I've seen so many like those people cling to things where it's like, yo, we all experience this.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're like, my grandma died, and you know, that was the hardest thing on me. It's like, yo, we all have had that happen.
Yes.
You know, my dog died. It's like, yo, like
I get it.
How many dogs I've kicked that have died? A lot.
Yo, that is so perfect. That is dead on, man. Oh man.
You face hardship. You face life, the life that we're all facing.
Right.
And it's like, oh.
Right. Yeah. Oh man, that was, oh, man, fucking Brent. You sold it.
You sold my claps.
Brent's, no claps. No claps. You get nothing. Here you go.
Come on.
Sway. What you just learned is like good politics. You just like swayed the world to be like, what Brent just said is bullshit. Just by that sound clip.
I just shut you down. You made a good point, and I shut it down. And that's a good place to end this episode. Nice try, Brent. Oh, man. You know, I'll tell you, I enjoy doing the podcast. I hate doing the standard podcast shit at the end. Rate and review, blah, 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 blah. Like, I don't know if I'm going to do that anymore. How do you feel about that?
I think we could either do this, get rid of it, or just pre-record it and leave it at the end. And as we need to change it, we'll pre-record it, and people can either listen to it or not listen to it.
You could hit the fast forward 15 seconds thing on your podcast app.
Yeah.
I don't feel like doing it. I don't feel like doing it today. I'm done.
I don't think you should.
No. All right. Well, that was a good conversation. I feel like most of it could have been summed up in like the last, 30 seconds. We didn't have to talk about shit for like 40 minutes. So nice work. I'm proud of you. Stay up! A frozen break that paralyzes the truth!